So this is a broad map, but is this useful to you, yes or no? So when I'm listening to people, here's what I want to know. I want to know their motive. What's behind it all? Why? What's their motive? I want to know what's their motive. I'm looking for their driving what? Which is their top two what? Needs, which another word for that is their preeminent needs. Because everybody's going to meet all six, but two of them they hold as preeminent. He really wants love, by the way, but operationally, how he lives preeminence his certainty and significance, right? Which one would you put first, certainty or significance? Almost all of you said certainty. I would agree, but I don't know if that's really true. I would say we need to hear more to be certain, but boy, certainty is a huge part of him. They're so neck and neck. My bet is that your first gut was right, that it's certainty first. He wants significance even more, but certainty, he has to be certain he's going to be significant. Very important. Second thing I want to know is, what are, if we know their driving force, what's their guiding force, their guiding principles, their map? There are seven elements. Tell me what they are. First one is, they're global. Fantastic. Number two, they're? Number three, how do they define their identity there? And how do they know if those values are going to matter or not there? And how are they going to know how they're going to get to it or not go? And ultimately, there may be a certain individual situations called situation-specific beliefs. And what's number seven? Metaprograms. Finally, I want to know where they live, which is, what's the pattern in their body? When I want to know how someone's life is going, all I got to know is what's driving them, what's guiding them, and the third question is, and I make it look like energy, a big circle of energy, and that's the third symbol, and that is, where do you live? What is your fuel of choice? The third component is where you live, the fuel of choice. What fuels all human action? What do you use to produce the energy to look at your rule book and decide what things mean and what you should do? What do you use to get yourself to take what you know and do something with it, good or bad or indifferent, to try to meet your needs? And the answer is the force that drives it all, that fuels it all, is human emotion. And when I say, where do you live? What I mean is, out of the thousands of emotions you could feel in an average week, if I had you write down all the ones you feel at least once a week consistently, not once a year, I guarantee you, if you did it, it's less than a dozen emotions for 90% of this room, maybe 98% of this room. There are 4,000 emotions that we have words for in the English language. 4,000 words. And there are all kinds of feelings you don't have words for, like, or wow. There are all kinds we don't even have words for. 4,000. The average person, and I've done this for 28 years, and every virtual culture in the world, and I've done it with tens of thousands of people, and I've done it with a few hundred, or five, or one. In 28 years, I can tell you the average is a dozen feelings people experience regularly, so they got five or six good feelings. They feel happy, happy, excited, excited, worried, worried, frustrated, freaked out. That's where they live. For example, on 911, I was in Hawaii. Anybody there with me? Wow. You all know what it was like. 3 o'clock in the morning, we get the phone call. They wake me up and say that one of the towers was just hit. We didn't know it was a terrorist attack. I said, great, you know, I appreciate you telling me this. I said, let's find out more. Call me in the morning. Shortly thereafter, the next tower gets hit, and then all of a sudden, we begin to realize what's going on. Now we have people from 80 different countries, I guess 50 actually, at that particular event. We're translating four or five languages. There are people of every religious belief. There are people out celebrating, and there are people out crying hysterically. There are people who think, because of this event, it's the end of the world. These are the end times they read about in the Bible. Right? Other people are saying, this is retribution. Right? The Quran has taught this. Other people are saying, reading the same book, the Quran, saying, this is horrible. We need to pray for these people. Didn't matter what the religious belief, what happened to do was their map of that particular book. Right? How many follow what I'm talking about here? Like, killing innocent people is not part of the Quran. So anybody says that's a Muslim belief, that's somebody's map about that book and how they've interpreted how to meet their own need for significance or certainty when they felt insignificant. The point is, all hell is breaking loose, so we've got to figure out bring everybody together. And here's the first thing I notice. Angry people were angry. Sad people were sad. Guilty people were guilty. Didn't matter what it was. One woman was to the Red Cross, and she was guilty. She wasn't there helping people. And you know what? She's always guilty. This one woman was so angry, she was spitting stuff. A woman stood up and shared that the first night, the night before, I'd done the speech on stage about death. I wasn't planning on doing it. I was getting up. It was the explosion of life mastery. I came flying out of the ceiling, if you've ever been there. Blew through this thing. Magic appeared. Lasers. And then I, boom, stood there. And everybody's clapping like crazy. It's a total fun event. We'd always practice. And I had this thing I would normally say. And for some reason, I didn't say anything I was going to say. No plan. And I said, what would you do if you knew you were going to die in 9 days? Never had done it before in my life. I've done that event God knows how many times. Not part of the design, not part of the outcome, nothing. And I just, what would you do? Who would you call? What would you change? What truth would you tell? How would you really be? What real part of you would show up that you've been hiding even from yourself? What would you go after? I went through this whole piece. I said, I want you to live the next 9 days as if you were going to die. If you're going to live it that fully, what would life be like? And this woman, as a result of this, the next morning is when this happened, middle of the night. She called this man, and she shared on stage. She said, I've had this man who's been wanting to date me. He's been wanting, or been dating me, rather. He's wanted me to marry him. And before I left, he asked me to marry him, and I told him no, my fiancé. And he said, well, if you go to that event, it's over between us. And she said, well, if that's how you're going to be, then it's over. She said, after I heard you speak, she said, I thought, you know what, I really love him. The only reason I'm not doing this is I'm afraid of getting hurt again, because her previous boyfriend, when she was engaged to him, he had gotten murdered. So she just was so afraid of opening up again. So she said, I realize I can't live that way anymore. And she said, I called him. It was the middle of the night, midnight our time. 3 hours later, New York was struck. He works in the World Trade Center, and she left him a message on his machine saying, honey, I love you. I want to tell you. Call me when you get up. I want to marry you. True story. And then he got the message. He called her back, but she was asleep. So she had the message. She played it for us a few days later because she recorded off the machine there saying, honey, I love you. I can't tell you what this message means to me, but kind of an interesting development. He was on the 110th floor or something, 102nd floor, whatever it was. And he said, the building's on fire and I'm going to die. He said, so I just want to tell you I love you. And he said, you're probably wondering why God would do this twice to you. And he said, I think probably what it is don't wait next time. You know, live every moment, love every moment. I mean, we were all just bawling. I mean, it was unbelievable. So she sits down, and she actually, at that point, had been through shock and pain, and she was like seeing it as a gift to some extent. And this woman got up, and she was screaming, and finally, I went to her group because she was creating such an uproar. She was so angry, and we should go to war with these people, and she figured out we should kill them, and on and on and on. She doesn't even live in New York. Doesn't know anyone in New York. She lives in Iowa. Anger for her is like, she called it rocket fuel. It's like, it gives her power, she says. So she goes there. So people go where they live, and then they blame the environment. They find the stimulus in the environment to trigger this, and then they use their map to guide themselves to get there. By the way, when she got really angry, which of her six needs would she be meeting? Tell me one, quick. Significant. 0 to 10, how significant is she? And how many people respond to her? Everybody. She had everybody responding to her as if she had the biggest issue in the room. And she was choosing to be involved. 4,000 people die a day of cancer and heart disease. 3,000 people died in those towers. It's a horrible event, but you can't be selective in your compassion. Think about it. More people die every day of cancer or disease today, and no one reported about it, nobody talked about it, no one's waving any flags, nobody's lighting any little candles, and no one's really committing much of a war on either of those diseases. It's all about what we focus on. We use the environment to meet our needs. What other needs did she meet by being really angry? Quick, which of the six needs? Certainty on a 0 to 10, how intense, how much do you think she got of certainty on a 0 to 10? 10. How much connection do you think she got in response from other people? Not love connection, just connection. 10. She got people paying attention, never would. Anytime something meets at least three needs, it becomes an... Are you getting this? Do people have a bunch of different emotional states they live in, or usually about a half dozen or less? Half dozen or less. And how do they get to those states? Any way they can. They create problems if necessary. They create ways to get there. Where they live is the states that they live in. Where they live is what they focus on most often. And where they live is the language they use. Does your language trap you into a certain place? Yes or no? If all the language you have is constantly about the problems, the difficulties, the insanity of your life, will we know? Will that continue to keep you in a certain location? Yes or no? What's the only thing that's going to shift this is a significant emotional event. Who can generate a significant emotional event? Anyone. And if you don't do it for yourself, life will offer you plenty of them. Can you go through a significant emotional event and just reinforce your own model of the world, this map we just drew? Yes or no? Yes. In fact, throughout your life, you're going to find out of your need for certainty, you have periods of time where you know how life's supposed to be. Like Jim knows how life's supposed to be. A to Z, you do it, that's how you go. But then sometimes there's a marker. It's different for everybody. Some people it happens annually. Some people it's every 5 or 7 years. Some people it happens once in a lifetime. But out of the need for variety, there's a point when something happens and we question. And questioning is a good thing. You just don't want to question every day. You make yourself crazy. Can't make any decisions if you're always questioning. But at some point, you may question. You say, is this really the right road for me? And one of two things happen. You say yes, and you recommit to the same life and model the world. Or you say, no, it's slightly different. I'm going here instead. Because your model of the world will be shaped most rapidly by your driving force. For example, if you're headed for, let's say, your whole desire in life above anything else is certainty. Let's say they're going that direction. If a person's driven by uncertainty or variety, they're going to go in a completely different direction. Does that make sense? If you're completely driven in life by significance, and that's what you want to achieve, if you're driven by the idea of love, you're going to go in the opposite direction. How many follow? But straight down the center, the spiritual drive for all of us really is growth and contribution. The ultimate contribution we make is love. So when you give love, by the way, you get to feel it. When you grow, you get to have that sense of variety. When you grow continuously and you're filled with love, you have certainty. When you're going for these preeminent needs, you tend to find yourself able to meet all the others. But they all bring you on a different path. So when I'm saying understand someone's world, how many of you have just broadened your own map about how to think about it? Say, I. Is this helpful?
Yeah.